RFK Jr. has picked his running mate, and it is not good news for the conservative women who may have been considering voting for him. And also, Trump is selling Bibles. We've got all of this and much more on today's episode of Relatable, which is brought to you by our friends at Good Ranchers. Go to goodranchers.com. Use code Allie at checkout. That's goodranchers.com, code Allie. Hey guys, welcome to Relatable. Happy Wednesday. Hope everyone has had a wonderful week so far. Before we get into all of it, just want to remind you of our cool new cute merch, which I happen to be wearing right now. The front says, if you're watching on YouTube, you're not enough, with this sweet little flower. And on the back it says, but Jesus is. This is available on alliemerch.com. We've got cute hats that have the same thing. Of course, this is inspired by the book that I wrote a few years ago, You're Not Enough. And that's okay. Escaping the toxic culture of self-love. We're constantly told, even by Christian teachers, that you are enough. But we're not. God made us not enough. God made us to be needy and to rely on Him for salvation, sanctification, strength. You're not enough, but Jesus is. The shirt, the crew necks, great evangelistic tools, great conversation starters. You're not enough, but Jesus is. AllieMerch.com. All right, let's get into it. We've got some things to talk about before my dad joins us and tells us the state of the race, the state of Trump's legal cases, everything that's going on there, a few more things that we'll discuss. The first thing that I want to talk about is RFK. RFK Jr. announced his VP pick. Now, before I even say who she is and explain all of this, I want to highlight this that I've said a few times before, and that a lot of y'all out there, especially those of you who are diehard Trump fans, you're surrounded by diehard Trump fans. You don't always believe me when I say this, or I get yelled at when I say this as if I am declaring this a good thing. I'm not necessarily saying this is a good thing. I'm just telling you it's how it is. There is a significant portion of suburban women, suburban moms, who are conservative, who are Republican voting, who are at the very least interested in voting for RFK Jr. And the reason is because they like him. They like his persona. They like the stuff that he puts out. They like what he says about needing to actually drain the swamp, especially when it comes to our public health apparatus, especially when it comes to the corrupt relationship between big government, big pharma, big tech, big business. They like that. And not all of these moms are just anti-vaccine, but they did see what COVID and COVID policies did to their children, did to their families, in the way of forced masking, in the way of forced virtual learning, and they want someone to put an end to that. So they're comparing that. They're looking at the pain, the suffering, the delays that caused in their family's life, how that affected them economically. They're looking at the things that RFK has said, how he would never let something like that happen again, and how he would fire Fauci, everything that he said about the vaccine, COVID vaccine, vaccines in general, but specifically that, about Fauci, about what they got wrong. And then they're looking at Donald Trump, who did not fire Fauci, who did not fire Deborah Birx, who actually chided someone like Governor Kemp when he reopened after the lockdowns, who still takes credit for this vaccine, which has hurt a lot of people. And so they're looking at those two things and they're saying, well, I don't want something that terrible to happen to my family again. I want someone at the top who is going to protect us from that. And you can't really blame them. Those years caused a lot of acute and irreversible pain and damage for a lot of families. So these aren't just like anti-vaxxer moms. Like, these are moms who are looking at the real damage that COVID policies caused and the medical industrial complex has caused. And they're saying, I don't want that anymore. This is a big deal for my family. And I really like what RFK is saying about it. And then, since these women are pro-life, they are also thinking, okay, well, I don't like abortion. I am pro-life. I would like my candidate to be pro-life. I would like my candidate to be anti-abortion. And look, before I before I go into this, you don't have to argue with me about it. I'm going to give the counterpoints to all of these and tell you what I think in just a second. I'm just trying to help you understand what they're thinking. And so they're looking, though, at the candidates. They're looking at Trump. They're looking at Biden. They're looking at RFK. And they're saying, well, I don't see any pro-life candidates. In RFK, you've got someone who, yeah, is pro-choice, and his campaign has officially said that he believes in a woman's right to choose, and they don't want to wade into the late-term abortion conversation. He originally said, sure, I'll limit it in the first 3 months, or I'm okay with that. His campaign came up after him and said, oh, no, that's not his official stance. And then you've got Trump. Trump, in the NBC interview a few months ago, said that the heartbeat bills in places like Florida were terrible, a terrible mistake, and that he is looking at a 16-week ban. We're talking well into the second trimester when you can start to feel that baby kick. That is when Trump thinks would be a good time to discuss some kind of ban. And then, of course, you've got Biden, who I believe is probably the worst of them all, who doesn't believe there should be any limit on abortion whatsoever, and that there should be funding, taxpayer funding abortion through all 9 months of pregnancy. So when you've got those three options, you've got essentially three pro-choice options. That is what these women are looking at. So they are anti-abortion, yes, but they don't see in their minds any, you know, pro-life candidates. They are anti the medical industrial complex. They want someone who is going to prevent a round two of COVID policies. And they like, I think, RFK's self-control on social media, how he handles himself, the messaging. His messaging on social media is extremely savvy. I think they like that about him. He seems more kind of with it, I would say, than the other two candidates, both physically and mentally. And I think they just like something fresh. They don't like a lot of things about Donald Trump's personality. These are women, by the way, who voted for him in 16 and 20 for the most part. They don't like some of the things that he says, and they just want something different. They want something different. And again, of course, how he handled COVID, they don't like that. And so before you dismiss this group, before you say they haven't thought about this at all, or they're stupid, or they don't matter, well, they do matter. Whatever you think about their thought process, if you are a Trump fan or if you are a Biden fan, like, you need all of the votes of the people who are planning to vote for RFK, because of what I just described, there are also liberal women who like RFK for basically the same reasons. And so RFK has been, I would say, a top contender, maybe not the top contender, but a top contender for these women. And I just got a text from a family member, conservative family member, conservative as they come, suburban mom, and she voted for Trump 16-20, no question about that. And she asked me, why shouldn't I vote for RFK? So I'm telling you, if she is the Southern suburban mom, is conservative and pro-life as they come, if she is asking me, what about RFK? I promise you, she is not the only one. I know for a fact that she's not the only one. So, and this should be very troubling, I think, especially to the Trump camp. This should not be dismissed. Now, we will get into whether or not this VP pick that RFK has announced, if that is going to change things. I actually think that it will have an effect, and not a good effect on the Republican women that he was able to successfully court for a little bit. And I'll explain why in just a second. Let me pause. Let me tell you about our first sponsor for the day. That's Adele Natural Cosmetics. Now, if you want to support a company that really is unapologetically pro-life all the way, they're unapologetically Christian, they love this country, they have the same values that you and I do, and they are committed to toxin-free products, then you need to be getting your makeup, you need to be getting your skincare from from Adele Natural Cosmetics. This is a family-owned company. They handcraft all of their products, all from American ingredients. They started this company several years ago because of the founder Arlene's own health problems, where she really had to kick it into gear to ensure that everything she was putting in and on her body was truly natural, toxin-free. So they created this amazing skincare makeup company, and I love it. I use their skincare every day when I'm not in the studio. I'm wearing their makeup, and I just love them as people, but I genuinely love their products. It's made a real big difference for my skin. If you go to AdeleNaturalCosmetics.com, A-D-E-L, naturalcosmetics.com, use code Allie for 25% off your first time purchase. AdeleNaturalCosmetics.com, code Allie. All right, so in Oakland, California, RFK Jr. announced that Silicon Valley attorney and entrepreneur Nicole Shanahan is his running mate. So there were some talks about who his running mate would be for a while. Aaron Rodgers, the former NFL player, he was apparently on a short list. And also Mike Rowe. Now, wouldn't have that have been awesome if he would have chosen Mike Rowe and we just had Mike Rowe on the podcast this week? I think that would have been a great pick, but he didn't pick either of those. Now, that probably would have signaled to us that he really is vying for the conservative vote. I think that if he would have picked Aaron Rodgers or Mike Rowe, he probably would have gotten a lot of those conservative women that I was just telling you about. But he has instead picked Nicole Shanahan, who is without a doubt on the left. She is without a doubt a liberal. Now, let me explain to you why RFK, in his words, picked her before I tell you a little bit more about her background and why I think this will absolutely turn any conservative voter off from voting for RFK. So, here's his reasoning. He said, I wanted a VP who cares about healing our children, protecting our environment, restoring our soils, and getting the chemicals out of our food. Shanahan's work on behalf of honest governance, racial equality, regenerative agriculture, and children's and maternal health has put her at the forefront of many of the country's most urgent needs. I mean, I already have questions about that. What is meant by racial equality? That is a euphemism that is very often used on the left to mean the discrimination against white males, discrimination against whites and Asians when it comes to admissions, when it comes to hiring. And so in what way are the races, as far as the law goes, unequal? I would want to know exactly what is meant by that. Do you mean DEI policies? Do you mean this kind of form of left-wing anti-racism in which you are prejudiced towards white people in the hopes that that will eventually even the outcomes and even the playing field? What do you mean by racial equality in the year 2024? That is something that I need to know. And the fact that he listed that without explaining what it means, I don't know. I think that's just something to note. He says, I also wanted a VP who shares my indignation about the participation of big tech as a partner in the censorship, surveillance, and information warfare that our government is currently waging against the American people. That's great. I share that concern. I wanted someone who would honor our traditions as a nation of immigrants. Again, euphemism not so sure about. And to also understand that to be a nation, we need secure borders. I'm with you on that. I'm with you that we need secure borders, of course. He says Nicole will be able to stand up to Silicon Valley, which she knows inside and out. And she is going to stand up to Wall Street, the big banks, and the larcenous K Street lobbies, the regulatory czars, and unbridled central bank money printers and the crony capitalists. These are the actors who have displaced democracy with greed. Now, I'm not so sure about that. I mean, she's definitely in Silicon Valley. She was married to one of the co-founders of Google, which is an interesting part of her background. So I'm not really sure that I believe that she will stand up to Silicon Valley, but that's what he says. So these are the big things that he believes she brings to the table as, and unapologetically, as we will see in a second, liberal woman. So they announced her position as the VP running mate yesterday to a large audience in Oakland. And I'll play you a little bit of her speech. This is SOT 1.
Pharmaceutical medicine has its place, But no single safety study can assess the cumulative impact of one prescription on top of another prescription and one shot on top of another shot on top of another shot throughout the course of childhood. We just don't do that study right now. And we ought to. We can, and we will. Conditions like autism used to be 1 in 10,000. Now here in the state of California, it is 1 in 22. 1 in 22 children affected.
Okay, so that's the part I do think that if she stayed on that, and that is what they continue to highlight, that that will be very appealing to that contingency, that demographic that I was just telling you about, because that is a big concern to them. So I actually saw an Instagram page saying that she is like very pro-vaccine and pro-big pharma. Okay, I do not think that he would have picked her if that were the case. And in that speech right there, while she doesn't say explicitly that vaccines and autism are tied together, that is clearly what she is implying. So just be careful of the information that you're saying. I'm not saying that I'm a fan of her, but like, let's just make sure that we are honest about that. At least from what she's saying right here, it seems that she shares his concerns about vaccines, about chronic illness, about some of the diagnoses and the prevalence of some of these diagnoses in children like autism. That to me doesn't sound like a big fan of big pharma. So that would be, I think, something that is seen as a positive, of course, by RFK, but also those conservative women that I was just telling you about. However, there is more to her background that I think we need to explore before we say, yes, this is a great pick who is going to fight against the medical establishment and fight on behalf of us. First of all, I just want to say, before I even get into the background, just from seeing her speech, if I were to predict, I think that she is probably going to have some not good media moments that could potentially hurt this campaign. And I'm not trying to be rude, but she's not, at least from there, the most articulate person. I could see her accidentally saying something that does not reflect well on RFK's campaign. We'll see about that. I could be wrong, but just from what I saw in that speech and how she articulates things, I'm not very confident. I'm not very confident in her ability to be a good representative of the campaign to the media. So that's just my prediction. We'll clip that. And then when something comes out where she says something where she's not supposed to say, it will have been fulfilled. Okay. So here is the summary of who she is, according to the mainstream media outlets like WAPO. A 38-year-old California lawyer, philanthropist. She has deep roots in the tech world. Shanahan was married to Google billionaire co-founder Sergey Brin from 2018 to 2023. She leads the Baia Eco Foundation. I don't know. I don't like the name of that. Do you? I don't like it. It sounds sketchy to me. I know that's just me being superficial. I just don't like it. Shanahan leads the Baia Eco Foundation, an organization she founded to direct money toward issues, including, listen to this, more left-wing euphemisms, including women's reproductive science, criminal justice reform, and environmental causes. And this is something that she said before, that she cares about women's reproductive rights. Another euphemism for abortion. Now, she might mean some things in addition to abortion, too, but that is what the euphemism stands for. It stands for abortion. And I wish someone would ask her, and maybe she'll come on the show. I don't think so after the last thing I said. But if I were to have her on the show, I would want to know what limits on abortion do you believe in? Do you believe in any at all? But reproductive science, criminal justice reform, another left-wing euphemism. What do you mean by criminal justice reform? Like, do you mean by letting people out of jail and refusing to sentence harshly people who have more melanin in their skin in the name of racial equality, that euphemism that RFK used when he was talking about her? And environmental causes, another euphemism. What do you mean by that? What policies do you believe are going to help these environmental causes, criminal justice reform, and women's reproductive science? These are euphemisms for abortion, for soft on crime policies, and for climate change policies, which, as we've seen, can be life ruiners, can be chaos inducers. According to the Federal Election Commission filings, she previously donated to Democratic campaigns. She also donated to a Soros-backed DA, George Gascon, in Los Angeles. Talk about a life ruiner. George Gascon is responsible for the murders of innocent people because he refuses to put people in prison for the time that they need to be locked up. He refuses to put people in jail who need to be in jail. He refuses to enforce the law because he is a social justice George Soros-backed life ruiner. That's what all of these DAs, these prosecutors, these judges who are backed by George Soros, this is what they do in the name of criminal justice reform, in the name of racial equity, in the name of anti-racism. They refuse to put criminals in jail based on their skin color so they can make sure that the quotas don't look like disproportionately black and brown people are being locked up, no matter what the crime is that is committed. So in 2020, she donated $550,000 to Los Angeles's Measure J, an amendment to the county charter requiring a 10% allocation of the county's general fund to be appropriated for alternatives to incarceration, such as mental health services and community-based restorative justice programs. There's another euphemism: restorative justice kills. Restorative justice kills. Every single story that you see in these blue cities of someone who committed, 25 crimes, say they've been arrested 25 times, and yet they're out in New York, in Philadelphia, in Baltimore, in Chicago, in Austin, in Denver, in LA, in San Francisco, and then they end up murdering someone. I mean, story after story, we've talked about them on the show. I try not to talk about them every time I see them because it's so depressing and sad, but it happens every single day. Someone who should have been in prison for life because of their record, they were let out in the name of restorative justice, and then they murdered someone. So this is who RFK has chosen as his pick. So if you care about crime, if you care about safe neighborhoods, if you care about having people at the top who care about those things and are going to ensure as much as they can in their kind of limited capacity as president and vice president to influence in a way that will encourage safety in communities, that will be pro-law enforcement, then this is not your pick. These are not the people that you want to vote for just based on her past and how she has spent her money. Also in 2020, Shanahan donated $150,000 to Soros-backed George Gascon for his LA County District Attorney race. Like, he is so awful that even LA tried to recall him. Even liberals have come out against him because he is so radically far left. She donated $150,000 to this guy in LA. Remember, George Soros donated $1.5 million to him. George Soros, again, who is not just ideologically, but I think personally motivated to ensure the demise of the United States by ensuing as much chaos and crime as possible. As we've talked about many times, like, he is one of the big wigs at institutions like the WEF, who want to see the demise of any truly American Christian values. He is who is behind so many of these leaders, these elected officials in these blue cities across the country, causing high crime, causing high murder rates. He is behind many of the organizations making it easier for illegal immigrants to cross the border. Even the worst criminals in the world coming through the border thanks to the money of people like George Soros. So who he backs tells us a lot about who they are, what their ideology is, and then it also tells us a lot about who Shanahan is. Gascon co-authored California Proposition 47, which passed overwhelmingly in 2014. It reduced many drug and property crimes from felonies to misdemeanors. It reduced a possible felony to always a misdemeanor, the theft of property valued at under $950, and meant that stealing most any gun was punishable by just a wrist slap. So you can see probably all of the effects that have occurred from that. And this is who Shanahan supports. And there are several other candidates that she has given to that are equally evil and destructive. Of course, she gave $25,000 to a joint fundraising effort between Biden's 2020 campaign and the Democratic Party. She also contributed to the campaigns of Democrats Marianne Williamson and Pete Buttigieg in that election cycle. I mean, Pete Buttigieg, just look at the problems that we're having with the supply chain and travel in the United States, sending $2,800 to Williamson and hosting a fundraiser for Buttigieg before backing Biden. During the 2016 election cycle, she donated $5,400 to Hillary Clinton's presidential bid and later sent money to Democratic congressional hopefuls in 2018. She was the driving force and the primary donor behind a Super Bowl ad produced by a pro-Kennedy Super PAC American Values 2024, for which she contributed $4 million. So here's where it gets interesting. Here's, I think, the real why behind him picking this woman who is obviously very far left. It has to do with money. Let me pause. Let me tell you about our second sponsor before I get into the details of that. And that is Covenant Eye. So this is not an easy topic to talk about. We've talked about this before, though, the dangers of pornography. It's something that we have to discuss. We've talked about the evils of Pornhub. We've talked about how porn rewires your brain. It ruins your sex life. It ruins your marriage. It ruins relationships. It can even ruin your friendships and your perception of yourself. It is one of the greatest destroyers of healthy families, and it is one of the I think one of the biggest boils on the back of American culture. And if you want to battle it in your own life and you want to protect your family from the effects, from the predation of pornography, you need to set up tools to ensure that your family is protected from it. And Covenant Eyes does that. Covenant Eyes is a software that you can download on all of your devices to block porn. They also have accountability features so that you can work with another trusted person and they can help you ensure that you are not looking at things that you shouldn't be looking at. I mean, they've been doing this for decades and they have helped restore so many people's lives and so many marriages because they have gotten people on the right track and gotten porn out of people's lives and relationships. And if you're interested in this, how you can protect yourself and your family from porn, then go to covenanteyes.com/Allie. You'll get 30 days of free protection. covenanteyes.com/Allie. Okay, so as I said, Shanahan donated a lot of money to him and to his super PAC. And that is why I think he has chosen her, because as a candidate for vice president, Shanahan can give unlimited sums to the campaign directly. So that's what it is. He needs the campaign money. And now that she is the VP candidate, she can give him lots and lots of cash. Now, I'm not saying that they don't agree on everything. I'm sure that they do agree on a lot of things. I'm sure that what she said about herself and her concerns in her speech, I'm sure a lot of those things are true. But even as from his own words about what she thinks about crime and abortion, she is very clearly far left. And of course, we have evidence of that in what she has given. So specifically on abortion, she's tried to pitch kind of like this unifying message, but she has also said that Dobbs v. Jackson, of course, that was the Supreme Court case that overturned Roe v. Wade, that the Supreme Court decision was enraging. So the overturning of Roe v. Wade, let's just remember what that was. It didn't ban abortion. It simply allowed states to ban abortion if their people wanted them to. She said that that was egregious. So she doesn't believe it should even be a state's issue. That's how radical she is. She says, I think the narrative of pro-life versus pro-choice is just not the right one for today. The one for today is let's use technology as a connector to bring us together and not divide us. That's what I have to say about that. Dumb. That's dumb. We're talking about a life and death issue. What does that even mean? I don't want to talk about abortion. I want to talk about how technology can bring us together. What? Talk about a non sequitur. That's what I'm telling you. I feel like we're going to get a lot of stuff like this from her. Doesn't even make any sense. Doesn't even make any sense. But RFK, of course, is excited about his VP pick. And he has to be because this is the cash cow. So we're still trying to get RFK to come on the show. I feel like it's getting less and less likely. But we've been trying for a long time. But I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think he wants to be put in the hot seat about things like abortion, things that my audience really cares about. But it's really a shame because he would have had the opportunity, I think, to win a portion of my audience over had he given good answers to those things. But it doesn't really put him in a good position because even if he said he would ban abortion or advocate for banning abortion, his campaign would come in and say, no, we like abortion through all 9 months, which is exactly what happened last time he said something like that. Well, Donald J. Trump on Truth Social, of course, has something to say about this. And he said RFK Jr. is the most radical left candidate in the race by far. I don't know about that. He's a big fan of the Green New Scam and other economy killing disasters. I guess this would mean he is going to be taking votes from crooked Joe Biden, which would be a great service to America. His running mate, Nicole Shanahan, is even more liberal than him. Now, I think that's true. If that's possible, Kennedy is a radical left Democrat and always will be. It's great for MAGA, but the communists will make it very hard for him to get on the ballot. Expect him and her to be indicted any day now, probably for environmental fraud. It's funny. He is crooked Joe Biden's political opponent, not mine. I love that he is running. I'm getting some conflicting messages. I wouldn't be so confident. Now, he might be right now. So he could be correct now because RFK has definitely signaled that that's who he's vying for. He's vying for those left wing votes. I think it would have been more likely for him to get conservative votes if he had gone that direction rather than Democrat votes. Democrats are just way more united. And I think that there are too many Democrats who just like Joe Biden, insanely enough. So I don't think it's a good strategy. I don't think it's an effective strategy. But you know what? Donald Trump is probably right. He's probably taking more votes away from Biden with this pick than he would have been from Donald Trump, which, yeah, again, is just silly. So Steve Dace, he has been a big fan of RFK just because of what he has said and done in regards to medical policy or COVID policy, what he said about the mistakes there. And I won't read his entire response. It's good, as it always is, when Steve Dace gives his opinion. But he says, I can't tell you how disappointed I am in RFK Jr.'s choice of a running mate. He's one of the few men I've met in recent years that instantly impressed me and commanded my respect. However, this is essentially the daughter of Marianne Williams and Thomas Eagleton. This is now just a protest vote for the Bill Maher's of the world, left wingers against Big Pharma, and nothing more. He says this is either a terrible choice on his part or he's merely trying to be a better version of what Ralph Nader did to Democrats in 2000. As for a truly independent voice, this sadly isn't it. Yet another missed opportunity to truly inspire. But that's par for the course in an era best known for soul crushing any earnest attempts at inspiring. Moving on, .. Yeah, I think he's probably right about that. So That's where RFK is. That's where his running mate is. And I just want to remind you that voting for RFK, because I don't think that he does have a path to victory. If you are a Democrat voting for RFK, you are giving half a vote to Trump. If you are a Republican voting for RFK, you are giving half a vote to Biden. Now, you have to vote your conscience. And as I said at the beginning of this segment, I understand. I do. I understand where you're coming from. And I don't think you're crazy. I don't think that you are insane for being interested in voting for RFK as a conservative. I have the same concerns about Trump. But look, not only is it the half a vote issue going on, but you also have to look at the apparatus that they are going to be surrounded by. You have to look at the judges that they are going to appoint, the justices that they are going to appoint. At the end of the day, I also don't like what Trump has said about abortion. There are plenty of things that I do not like about Donald Trump, as I've said before, plenty of things that I appreciate that he has done. But he is going to surround himself by far more conservative people in the White House than RFK will. I really do believe that. Now, I don't like all the people that he surrounds himself with right now. I don't. But I do think that when he gets into the White House, he will surround himself by far more conservative people. He is far more likely to sign a law that is pro-life, absolutely. And he is far more likely to appoint Supreme Court justices, should he get the opportunity, that will make decisions that align with our values, that align with the Constitution. I guarantee you that RFK would not. We would not be happy with an RFK Supreme Court justice pick. He is a Democrat at the end of the day. Just remember that. We can really like a lot of things about him, but we have to keep that in mind. All right. I just very quickly want to talk about Trump now and a new gimmick that he's got, and that's selling Bibles. No. Oh my gosh. He's selling God Bless the USA Bibles for $60. Wow. Okay. Just listen to this. This is according to The Guardian. In a post to his Truth Social platform on Tuesday, former President Trump wished his followers a happy Holy Week as he encouraged everyone to get a copy of his new God Bless the USA Bible collaboration with country singer Lee Greenwood. Okay, for $59.99. That's a lot. You can get a KJV Bible with the words God Bless the USA and an American flag pictured on the cover. This is the only Bible endorsed by Donald Trump, according to the website. Within the Bible is a handwritten chorus to God Bless the USA by Lee Greenwood. It's a great song. The U.S. Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, and the Pledge of Allegiance. I don't know, Bree. Do you have thoughts about this? This gives me the ick times 1,000.
Yeah, it feels really weird to me that he... I think it's the fact that they include all of that within the Bible. It's not like we'll include a copy separately when you order the Bible. It's in the Bible, and that makes me feel kind of weird about it.
Yeah, it makes me feel weird about it too. Like, what would be the point of buying this particular Bible? I guess just to say that you have it for memorabilia. Yeah. I mean, it really is like wrapping the Bible in the flag, and I don't want to read too much into it by saying, oh, they're idolizing America by putting it in the Bible, but it does feel weird. It doesn't feel right, man. It feels sacrilegious. It feels political. It feels like you're selling a Bible to pay your legal fees, which I just don't like. It feels somehow similar. Track with me and see if this makes sense, because it's not an exact comparison, but it does feel like money changing in the temple. Kind of thing when Jesus was turning over tables. Mm-hmm. It has the same feeling, if you will.
I will say the site technically says he doesn't profit from this.
Oh, okay.
But still, I wonder, I don't know. It still feels off to me.
Yeah.
It says it doesn't, the money doesn't go to his campaign or anything, apparently.
Yeah. But. Okay. Now, I'll say the other side of this, because I know people will be mad, but the other side of this, maybe people will buy a Bible who never would have bought the Bible.
Yeah.
Maybe they, just like Trump, and they haven't read the Bible in a long time, but maybe they open it up. Maybe this works for some people. I mean, there are worse things to sell.
Yeah.
Right?
It's a rough translation to start with, I will say that.
The KJV?
Yeah.
Well,
but honestly,
that was probably a safe choice.
Sure.
That was probably a safe choice because some people they don't like any other version, and most people aren't going to like complain about that. So, you know what? Maybe this will reach the right people. The word of God doesn't return void. And I hope that Donald Trump also reads it. I would be happy about that. So it does feel a little bit ick to me. However, I believe that God can use it. Like I said, There are worse things. There are worse things that can sell. This is from the website, though. Is this Bible officially endorsed by Donald Trump? Yes, this is the only Bible endorsed by Donald Trump. What does that mean?
Okay. No other Bibles allowed.
Okay, here's what Andrew Walker says, professor at Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, editor at World Magazine, who I really respect. Trump peddling to patriotic Bibles, gimmicky civil religion. Even if Bibles like this are a well-worn gimmick, the Bible is no prop. Exactly. And Christians would do well to resist its syncretistic ploy. But you know what's also wrong? The Democratic platform's assault on human nature and human dignity. Allowing what is popular and politically correct to determine the intensity and proportion of moral outrage is not the way. Very true. Very true, Andrew Walker. Very astute and nuanced. Yeah, so that's where I am on that. But speaking of Bibles, I really encourage you to get the ESV Study Bible. That's what I love. I've got to use it to change my life, change my theology, help me understand his word, help me understand him, salvation, the gospel is so much better. ESV Study Bible, there's really just one official one. It's like black and white. And let's see, I wonder how much it is. It's probably less than $60. I mean, you could probably get one that's leather that's more expensive. Let's see, ESV Study Bible. Yeah, ESV Study Bible, $28.49 on Amazon. You gotta, there's a pretty one that's $40.83. Yep, get you an ESV Study Bible. I mean, God really can use it to change your life. You don't need to be spending $60 on an American flag Trump endorsed KJV Bible. You just don't. That's my two cents. Okay. I just wanted to make sure that we commented on that. And now we are going to get into a conversation with my dad. He's going to give us some updates on what is going on in the political world. Also, what's going on at the border with the court and the Biden administration and Greg Abbott. Before we get into it, let me tell you about our next sponsor for the day. That is Every Life. This is a pro-life diaper company. You would hope that every diaper company would be pro-life. Unfortunately, some of those big diaper companies, even the ones that say that they're super clean and they care about you and your child, they're donating to pro-choice politicians and organizations. You don't have to worry about that with Every Life. They are all the way pro-life. They sell premium diapers with all of those great, healthy, high quality ingredients. They also are so supportive, financially supportive of their employees who are adopting or having babies. They want more babies, not fewer babies. What a radical concept, right? Especially for a diaper company. So go ahead, get your diapers from Every Life, everylife.com. Use code ALLIE10. Get 10% off on your first order. That's Ally10 at everylife.com, everylife.com. Dad, thanks so much for joining us again. All right, we're here to talk about what's going on in the political realm. What do we want to talk about first? Let's talk about Trump. Let's talk about what's happening in his legal fight. So what happened this week?
Well, a couple really things happened for him this week that were actually, one of them may have happened late last week. But anyway, in the last few days, a couple of good things for him is, you know, he had this lawsuit in New York where they made him post a bond of $450 million to cover a potential judgment against him for, quote unquote, misvaluing properties that he took loans out on, even though all the loans have been paid and the banks never complained and all that stuff. It's kind of crazy.
So they're just looking for something.
They're looking for something.
I can't keep track of it. I didn't know if it had to do with, I mean, there are so many different lawsuits happening at once. Some to do with the election, some to do with E. Jean Carroll, that woman who accused him of things.
Yeah, this is separate from that.
This is separate from that.
Yeah, this is really probably the most egregious one of all. Because he had some properties that he needed to borrow money against. He put them up as collateral, gave them a valuation of what he thought they were worth, and the banks accepted it. They paid off the loans over time and whatever, and then somebody, this Leota James, the AG.
Letitia
James, sued him because the value wasn't what it was on the tax records. Well, tax record value and real market value is totally different. But anyway, so the judge, they ruled against him, $450 million potential judgment. So they're going to make him post a bond. And they appealed it to the next level up to an appeals
Trump's
court
team.
In New York. Yep. Mm-hmm. And they got and they reduced it to $175 million, which is still a lot of money, but it is a huge slap in the face to A.G. James by a very liberal court as well. So
yeah.
All the, you know, the liberal media hogs were just all upset about all of that one, right?
So, but now with the Truth Social going public,
yeah.
How much money is he getting from that?
Well, he owns almost 60% of Trump Media, which includes Truth Social. And as of yesterday, the total value of the company was $6.8 billion. He owns about 60%, so that's about $4 billion. Now, he can't sell that stock right away. When you first go IPO, if you're an insider, there's some restrictions on that. But he likely could borrow money against it if he needed to. So it's been a pretty good week for him. Now, the polling, however, for Trump and Biden kind of remains about the same.
Yeah.
It's so interesting. The overall polling, you know, is pretty close to the margin of error with Trump leading. However, when you get down on the specific issues, it's not even close.
Yeah.
When you look at immigration, when you look at the economy, I mean, it's 20 or 30 points different. But there are people that are just saying, hey, I don't care how bad this is. If you really ask me how I'm going to vote, a lot of those people are voting for Joe Biden.
I think when people are thinking issue by issue, they're thinking Republican versus Democrat. When they
yeah.
are looking at the two contenders,
yeah.
they aren't thinking Republican versus Democrat. They're thinking Trump versus Biden. So I think that most people do probably trust Republicans when it comes to the economy and immigration and crime
mm-hmm.
more. But when it comes down to either personality or whatever it is, Trump versus Biden, some people just, they can't just do it. They can't hold their nose and vote for Trump, or at least right now they think they won't be yeah. able to.
Actually, I think, yeah, I agree with you on that. Actually, I think that Trump will get more of the younger generation votes than any Republican candidate has gotten in a while. And I think the reason for that is, and I didn't say it's even necessarily good, but the reason for that is so much of the younger generation, even younger than the millennials, the other generations below y'all, they're so used to seeing all this crazy stuff. The stuff that they've read or seen what Trump may say or do, I mean, they see that every day from their friends on TikTok or whatever it happens to be, right? Mm-hmm. And so I just don't think that moves the needle as much. I think what moves the needle even more for the young people will be, hey, who looks has the most vigor? Who looks the most really yeah. willing, being able to stand up and do something if mm-hmm. we need to be? And certainly Trump looks better than Biden in that category.
Yeah, I think so too. Gosh, and I don't even know if they're paying attention, and I don't think most of my friends are paying attention to what Trump is going through legally. I don't think that they can keep count of all of the
Very
cases.
Difficult.
And I mean, I don't even. I get overwhelmed when yeah. I try to keep it all in order. And so for the average person, they're looking at it and they kind of just see it as a political witch hunt. They're not paying attention yep. to the details of it. I don't think that's a determinant for most people when it comes to who they're voting
for. I think you're probably right, and I think the polls indicate that, okay? And the Democrats felt like, well, look, we can do all this. We're going to catch him somewhere on one of them, and that's going to make the difference. I just don't see that making a difference. Now, I think Trump could still lose, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, Biden can still win, which is hard for me to even believe, but it's a close race. There's no question about that.
Okay, got a new deal with Good Ranchers. I'm excited about, my husband's excited about, the Chief Relata Bro, because he loves chicken wings. And if you like chicken wings, then you need to go ahead and subscribe to Good Ranchers. I don't know why you haven't done that already. I've been talking about them for a really long time, and I've been telling you from personal experience that this is the place to get your American meat. Your better than organic chicken, your Kraft beef, all your cuts of steak. Like, my life is so much easier because I get the meat sent to our front door on dry ice every month, and I don't have to go to the grocery store and worry about what's in my meat. They don't have mRNA vaccines. These aren't imported from abroad. Like, it's all healthy American meat made right here. And right now, when you subscribe, you get free chicken wings for a year. That's like $150 value. Free chicken wings with your box for 1 year if you subscribe now. Plus, if you use my code, you get $20 off. So a great deal all around. It's goodranchers.com. Use code Allie for that discount and that deal with your subscription. Goodranchers.com, code Allie. Okay, let's talk about Texas. What's going on at the border. It's been a battle, Biden administration, the Supreme Court, Governor Abbott, all kind of in a fight, as it looks from the outside at least, over what to do at the border. Obviously, Greg Abbott wants to secure the border. The Biden administration outright does not. They want to undermine Texas's ability to protect their border at all. They have to go to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court gets to tell them what everyone is allowed to do. Yeah. So where is it right now?
Well, it's interesting. So just a quick history. Texas State Legislature passed Senate Bill 4 last year. And Senate Bill 4 allows Texas law enforcement to arrest people that they have probable cause. Okay, there has to be probable cause. You can't just, it's not, just stop every car. It's probable cause that they have entered the country illegally, and to give those back to the border agents to deport. And the border agents would be required to deport those. That's what they're there for, right? And so there was a judge, David Ezra, who was actually appointed by Ronald Reagan long, long time ago. He's a senior status judge that is, is a liberal.
He was appointed by Ronald Reagan.
He's a liberal judge. He's out of Hawaii, which is pretty liberal, but he also serves the Western District. And he ruled against SB4. In fact, put a permanent injunction against it. And so then they appealed it to the Fifth Circuit. Okay. Abbott did. And Abbott, and they stayed the law as well. And then they sent it to the Supreme Court, who stayed it, but just for temporarily until they looked at it. Yeah. Then the Supreme Court looked at it and said, no, we're going to remove the stay, meaning it could go into effect, and send it back to the Fifth Circuit. Well, within hours, the Fifth Circuit put the stay back on, okay? And so that's been on. And then yesterday, this three-judge panel, there's 17 judges on the Fifth Circuit. All right. And 12 of those are Republican, 5 are Democrat. When I say that, they've been appointed by those people. Well, most of the cases are heard by a three-judge panel. And the three-judge panel yesterday was one Biden appointee, one George H.W. Bush appointee, and then one Trump appointee. And the two, the Biden and the H.W. Bush, ruled to continue the stay, okay, until it's finally heard. It'll probably be heard
on. And explain what that means, continue the stay.
That means that the law cannot go into effect, okay? And it'll probably be heard what they call en banc, which means all 17 judges will hear it.
Yeah.
All right, that happens occasionally. But the Trump.
So that's bad for Texas.
Yeah. The Trump judge dissented against it, and has a great dissent if people have the time to go on and read that.
The Trump judge said, yes, this law should be able to go into
place. Texas has the right to do this. And don't deny that it's a federal border, but Texas has the right to arrest lawbreakers, right? And they're breaking the law. State troopers arrest people that commit federal crimes all the time, right? Mm-hmm. And so this is a federal crime, and we have the right to do that. So
what's the Biden administration's argument for saying, nope, you can't do this?
They're basically saying that it's unconstitutional, because that is, the federal government has broad control over that, and they can let in and let out whoever they want to.
And they obviously just want to let people in.
Oh, no
and
question.
I'm constantly trying to not think of the absolute worst case scenario and the worst motivations, but it's really hard to see this as anything other than them just wanting to change the demographics of the country for their own power. I mean, well, that's got to be it.
They know what happened under President Reagan, as you know, who is our favorite. Okay, and actually read some of my book for me. That's very nice of him to do that.
People might not understand that joke, but have to go listen to
the
his
audible
book,
version,
and then they'll understand. They will. But he is one of my favorites. But
he had an amnesty program.
Yes,
and that is what the Democrats are planning on happening. Even under a Republican president, they might, because he just wanted it to end. What we didn't do, though, is when that happened, is we didn't have total immigration reform to secure our borders and things like that. Then we had this chain migration that Schumer basically snuck in there years ago. And so I believe all the people I talk to that are candidates, political candidates, anywhere in the country, and I've talked to several of them, their number one issue when they talk to people is immigration. Number one issue. I don't care if you live in New Hampshire or you live in South Texas. It is immigration. And hopefully Republicans will be smart enough to keep pounding that scenario because their record on that's much better.
Do you think that Republicans in Washington, D.C. want to fix the issue? Because it seems like they've had the opportunity to.
No, I think they want to fix the issue, but they're not going to fix it unless there is secure the border first or simultaneously.
Well, that's what I mean by fixing the issue. Do you think that they really, truly want to secure the border, or do you think they just want to be able to run on an ongoing problem?
No, I think they really want to secure the border. I really do. Now, there may be some people that it's just a political thing, but I think most of them know it's bad for our country not to have a secure border.
Yeah.
And I think most of the Democrats, it's kind of like a NIMBY. They don't want the secure border unless it has a negative effect on them, like not in my backyard, right?
Yeah.
Because all the blue what are those blue city mayors want us to do? Yeah. They want us to let them all in, but don't send them to me. Well, they think Texas and Arizona and California and New Mexico should handle all of them. That makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. Yeah.
And, you know, I just hadn't thought about it, but Elon Musk has been sounding the alarm about this, that everyone is counted in the census, whether you're legal or illegal, and political power is based on how many people are counted in the census.
It's how many House of Representatives seats that you get, how much money is allocated to your area through certain federal programs. But, you know, the deal is, Allie, the millennial generation is now the biggest voting bloc. They don't vote the most, but they have they're the biggest eligible voting block. Yeah. And we really need your generation, the generation behind that, to step up. And I think that they will. I'm very, very encouraged about young people in this country. And I really am. There's so many good stories that come out that don't get put out. I think there are a lot of those people out there that are coming around. And I think our country, while we may be in some temporary tough times, I still think we're in for some really good times ahead.
I hope so. Okay, are there any other political updates, any other things that people need to know are going on?
No, just, you know, the conventions are coming up. The Republican convention is coming up in July in Milwaukee, and the Democrat convention is coming up in August in Chicago. And I think there'll continue to be talk between now and then about Trump's legal issues and then Biden's age and things like that.
Yeah.
But I had one quick question for you.
I'm ready.
What did you think about Vice President Harris being the first vice president to tour a Planned Parenthood facility? You may have already talked about that. But
no, we actually haven't talked about that. I mean, it's not surprising to me. It's evil. She's been bloodthirsty for a really long time. When she was AG of California, she went after the investigative journalist to uncover the fact that Planned Parenthood is basically trafficking body parts.
Yeah.
They are profiting off of that.
Oh, she did?
He had she had the FBI raid his home because of that. And so she's more concerned about protecting baby butchering than she is protecting the lives of the most vulnerable. She's an evil woman, but this is an evil administration. And increasingly, it is an evil political party that you really can't find. And this includes RFK, who claims to be an independent. You really can't find a Democrat running or in office who will say that there should be any limit whatsoever to abortion. And I think they're just empowered when they see
someone
like
Kamala. And that
ought
to be the Republicans' mantras when they're put on the spot, is just say, okay, well, tell me what limits you would have. Because none of them will ever say, it's like public schools saying, when I ask them, how much money do you need to provide good education? They'll never give you a number. Well, we just need more.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So just
need more. I know. No, you're right. They should be saying that. But instead, Republicans are trying to defend themselves about IVF and all of that. They shouldn't even focus on that.
No,
let's tell them what we talk about. Republicans, in an interview, you never have to answer the question.
You don't have to answer their
question. Say what you want to say.
You say what you want to say. That's
and you turn it back on them and say, what do you think the limits should be for abortion?
Yeah. Yeah.
You say, I think life begins at conception. When do you think a life matters?
That's exactly right. No question.
Why don't they just all listen to us?
I don't know. They should. Maybe they will now.
Maybe they will.
Because they all listen to you, so maybe they will.
Yeah. Okay. Tell everyone about your book.
Oh, yeah. Well, Life Lessons from the Little Red Wagon. I got it here in front of me today. And it's a great, I think it's kind of a fun read. And I had a great writer that helped me write it. And I think you'll find it very interesting. It's just one guy's journey through life using the red wagon as a metaphor. And any of you interested in learning how Lisa's mom raised such a great daughter in Allie, or Allie's mom raised such a great daughter, you'll find that in here too.
Well, thank you so much, Dad. I really appreciate you taking the time to come on. And we'll put a link where you can check out that book. It's My Dad's Story. And there's lots of good lessons, leadership lessons in there from his life. And so we'll include the link in the description of this episode. Thanks so much.
Okay. Thank you. I enjoyed it.